Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
It was the summer of 1989. I was 17 years old, getting ready to head into my senior year of high school. Life was good. For the past several months leading up to this morning, I had kind of just been collecting like the loose change that I had gotten through the day and putting it, you know, at night when I go to my room, take it out, put it in the jar that I had on my dresser. And so this one particular morning, summer morning, I noticed that my jar was full. And so I thought, I've got nothing else to do today. I'll just roll my coins that I've collected and amassed over these last several months. So what I did is I start rolling my coins and realized I had like almost $100 in rolled coins, which for a 17-year-old was pretty cool. You know, $100 I didn't really realize I had. And so after I finished rolling them, I hopped in my Plymouth Horizon and yeah, the one that the smoke just kind of billowed out the front grill every time I drove it. And I hopped in my Plymouth because I was cool like that, okay? And I hopped in my car and I headed to the bank to deposit my rolled coins. And so as I'm, you know, windows rolled down, enjoying the nice summer breeze, minus the smoke rolling off of my engine, I thought, you know, I'm just going to go to the drive-thru at the bank, because there's really no need to like park and get out and use all that energy. I'll just go through the drive-thru. And so as I pulled up to the bank, there was a car in the lane closest to the bank, and so I went to the next lane where you have to use those deposit tubes. You know those things? Yeah. And so I had this moment as I pulled up, just very brief moment, where I thought, I wonder if you can put rolled coins in a deposit tube. Sure you can, right? I mean, there's no sign anywhere that says you can't. And so I got the tube, and I just started putting all my rolled coins in it, and I put it in, and I hit send. Unfortunately, I had to go back to the bank a couple days later to get my deposit slip. Because evidently, as it turns out, you can't put rolled coins into a deposit tube. It gets stuck about midway between you and the teller. And they have to like call out some construction workers and a couple of specialized trucks that have unique specialized equipment for to handle problems like this. And they have to close the drive-through lanes down completely. And it ends up, you know, costing the bank a couple of $1,000 to get it all the way, the rest of the way to the teller. Now, if you were to drive to that bank today, you would see now there's a sign, okay? Yeah, yes. So, not one of my best decisions, okay? Not one of my best decisions. Hey, you know, your decisions shape your life, and you make a lot of decisions. Last week, we kicked off this new series, Your Life in a Jar, and Vince talked about how the average person makes about 70 conscious decisions every day, which equals like over 25,000 decisions a year. And so when Vince said that, I like actually did the math and I realized like at my age, I've already made over 1 million conscious decisions. And the reality is who I am today and who you are today is the result really of the decisions that you have made throughout life. And the reality is that you have made a lot of bad decisions, right? I've made a lot of bad decisions. I mean, we've all, you know, leased cars that we shouldn't have leased. We've all bought homes that we shouldn't have bought. We've married someone maybe we shouldn't have married. We've gone places we shouldn't have gone. We've frequented websites that we shouldn't have frequented. And these decisions that we've made in our past just have shaped who we are. Last week, we introduced you to this jar, and this jar represents your life, and the cards that are in this jar represent the decisions that go into and will make up your life, the decisions that you make over the years. And maybe last week, as we introduced this idea to you, you may have taken some time to think, you know, about those cards that are in here that you wish you could take it out. You know, you think, man, if only I had said no to that affair. If only I hadn't been so stubborn. If only I had said no to that get-rich-quick scheme. If only I hadn't said those words to my daughter. If only I had stayed in school. If only I had done things differently, my jar would look different. My life wouldn't be the mess that it is. And as much as we'd like to take decisions out and past decisions help, you know, somehow figure out a way to undo them, the reality is you can't. Okay? Someone said that we make our decisions and then our decisions make us. The reality is you can't undo the past. You can't take the cards out. You're just left with regret and a lot of if-onlys. But what if you could avoid the if-only question by asking a couple of other questions before you make your decision? Like, what if there were a couple of questions that you could ask that could give you the wisdom that you need to make great decisions? Like, just a couple of questions that you could kind of filter your choices through so that you could live without any more regrets. Well, I believe there are, and I want to share with you those two questions today. Two questions that you can ask today that will spare you from asking if only tomorrow. Two questions you can ask today that will spare you from asking if only tomorrow. Now, early on in Jesus' ministry, we see him facing some difficult and rather significant decisions. God had sent his son Jesus into this world to show you his love and to restore a relationship with you. And part of Jesus' journey would take him to the cross, where he would die on the cross so that your sins could be forgiven, your past mistakes and decisions could be redeemed, and he could have this relationship with you. Now, his enemy, Satan, didn't want to have anything to do with God's mission, and so he set out to derail it. And we see one of these instances in the Bible, in the book of Matthew, chapter 4. Jesus has actually, just at the beginning of his ministry, he's actually gone away to spend some time alone in prayer to prepare for this journey and this mission that God has sent him on. And during this time, Satan approaches him and asks him several questions. He actually approaches him and offers him an easier mission, offers him an easier path. Not the right path, but an easier path than the one that God has prepared for him. And we read about this in Matthew chapter 4. And I just want to read through this, and we'll put the verses on the screen. And I want you to notice how Jesus deals with each temptation, okay, each major decision that's put in front of him by Satan. And what you're going to notice is there's this repeating phrase. Okay, so I'll read through it and you can pick up on it. Matthew chapter 4, beginning in verse 3. The tempter, and that's Satan, came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." And Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." And then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down." And Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." And again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." You notice the repeating phrase that Jesus uses here? It is written. Every question, every decision that he's faced with, he uses this phrase to respond to Satan. It is written. Each exchange that he has with Satan, each decisive moment, Jesus uses a verse from the Bible to make a great decision. Now, when you're faced with significant decisions, One of the questions that you need to ask, okay, if you're going to make great decisions, if you're going to avoid the if only questions later, one of the great questions you've got to ask is simply this: is it written? Is it written? In other words, what does the Bible say? As I'm facing this significant decision, this meaningful decision in my life, I need to ask, is there anything in the Bible that speaks specifically to this decision that I'm facing? Or are there any general principles that would help me make a great decision in what I'm facing right now? Is it written? Now, I don't know what you think about the Bible. I don't know what you've heard about the Bible. But here's what you need to know. God loves you. Okay? And because God loves you, He has given us the Bible. He's given us this book to help you live the best life possible. Okay? He's given us this book to help you make the best decisions, the greatest decisions that you can possibly make. In fact, listen to what it says in the book of 2 Timothy. Again, we'll put this on the screen. 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says, "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness." Righteousness is just a big word that means right living, okay? It means wise living. "So that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." In other words, what it's saying is that in the Bible, I have all the guidance I need to be all that God wants me to be. It's all right here. That this is God's wisdom to help you make wise decisions. There's another passage in the book of Psalm chapter 119, verse 105, says, "Your word," it's God's word, the Bible, "your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path." What he's saying is God's word gives us light and wisdom for how to live, and for the journey through life. It helps you know where you need to go. It helps you make the decisions that you need to make. And isn't that what you're looking for? Really? I mean, maybe you know, you've spent enough time walking around in the dark, not sure where you're needing to go. What God's word does, it gives us light. It gives us wisdom. It gives us direction. Everything you need to be guided on in life is here in this book. Okay? Everything. And so you want to know how to build your marriage? It's in here. Okay? You want to know the basics of parenting? It's in here. You want to know how to restore a broken relationship? Here you go. You want to know how to make a great salsa? That's not in here. No, I'm sorry. Not everything is in here, but most things, right? You want to know how to handle your money? You want to know how to treat your body? You want to know how to get rid of guilt and fear and anxiety? You want to know how to move beyond some of your past poor decisions? Here you go. It's in this book. And if you follow this, God says you'll make better decisions. You'll make wiser decisions. And so here's the thing. If you're going to make great decisions, one of the things you've got to do is you've got to become a student of the Bible. You got to become a student of God's Word. Now, you may be sitting there going, okay, well, how in the world do I do that? Like, I've got a job. Okay, how am I going to go back to school? How am I going to become a student of the Bible? Well, actually, it's pretty simple. Okay, you start reading it. Okay? You just start reading it. Anybody can become a student of the Bible. Okay, you can do this. In fact, why don't you look at your neighbor and just tell them, you can do this. All right, go. All right, you can do this. All right. Anybody can become a student of the Bible. So let me just get real practical for a moment here. Because if you're going to make great decisions, one of the best ways to do that is to start reading the Bible daily. Start reading the Bible a little bit each and every day. So here's how you do that. First thing you need to do is choose a time to read the Bible. Okay? You need to choose a time that works for you each day, just a time that you're going to set aside to read this book. Now, here's why I tell you that. Because if you don't choose a time, you're not going to do it. I know that from personal experience. Okay, if you don't choose a time, a specific time, you're not going to do it at least daily. It's not going to become a habit. Because you ever like run into a friend, you know, somewhere you haven't seen in a while, you're like, hey man, it's great to see you. We should get together sometime. Yes, let's get together. Let's do that. And you see them like 3-4 weeks later, you're like, man, we have so got to get together, right? Man, let's do it. Let's make it happen. Yeah, all right. And then you see them like 6 months later, like, dude, we got to get together. Right. Are you ever going to get together? No, you're never going to get together until you do what? Until you schedule it, right? Until it gets on your, if you don't calendar it, it's not happening, okay? I know that because I've done that so many times. So if you're actually going to become a student of the Bible, if you're going to start reading the Bible regularly, you got to choose a time. Trust me, it's not going to happen unless you choose a time. So just pick a time that works for you. Maybe a morning person, you might be an evening, it doesn't matter. Maybe it's over a lunch break. Just choose a time. Then the second thing is you got to find a place, okay? You got to find a place. It may be a chair in your house, it may be a guest bedroom, it may be a bench at a nearby park, but you should just choose a place, okay, at the right time for you. And preferably, why I say choose a place is find somewhere you can kind of get off alone, okay? Somewhere that has few distractions, there's not a lot of noise, it's quiet, and you can just read, okay? And so you find a time, find a place, and then you read, okay? You've got your time and place, and now you just read. You just build this daily habit into your life. Now, you may be sitting there thinking, well, I don't own a Bible, okay? Well, we can help you with that, okay? We'd love to give you a Bible. We give Bibles away for free at the Velcro Bar every week here. Stop there on your way out today before you leave. Grab a free Bible. You don't even have to talk to anybody. No strings attached. Just grab one, and then you'll have a Bible. Now, you may be thinking, okay, but I don't know where to start reading. Again, we can help you with that. And so what you'll see if you grab one of our Bibles is you'll notice inside the Bible is a Bible reading plan, okay? And what this Bible reading plan is, we just put this together to help you get in the habit of reading your Bible every day and knowing what to read. And so it's one chapter each day. So it's not going to take you a long time. It's just one chapter each day. Now, you may hear that, okay, all right, I've got my Bible and I know what to read, but how am I going to understand what I'm reading? Like, how am I going to know what it's saying? Okay. Again, we can help you with that. We have created this thing called Verve Catalyst. You can actually go to vervecatalyst.org and sign up, and we will actually email you every day with the scripture that is to be read that day, and then we have a short write-up on that email. It's not long, but just explains to you what you've just read. It helps you understand what you've just read and what that means for your life and what that means today, okay? And we've done that just because we think it's important. Okay. If you're going to make great decisions, you need to become a student of the Bible. You need to be asking this question, is it written? Okay. And I just want to encourage you to build your life around the words of this book. Okay. To just gain wisdom for your life. I just challenge you. So when you're faced with a significant decision, okay, when you're faced with a difficult decision, you'll ask, is it written? Does the Bible have anything to say about what I'm dealing with right now? Anything specifically about this? Or maybe just a general principle that will give me some wisdom to make a great decision? And if you'll do that, you'll make good decisions. You'll make great decisions, not decisions that you're going to one day regret. But you got to become a student of God's Word. And you've got to start asking this question. This will just become the first question you ever ask when you're facing a decision. Is it written? Does the Bible speak into what I'm dealing with right now at this moment? Now, that's the first question. So I want to change gears here for a little bit and talk about another way to pursue wisdom for making great decisions. And it's this. Tap into others. To tap into others. We got to become students of the Bible, but we also have to seek out the advice and the wisdom of others. There's a book in the Bible called Proverbs, and this almost the whole book is just a book about gaining wisdom and making great decisions in life. And throughout Proverbs, we see this recurring theme. Okay, seeking out the advice and the wisdom of others. In fact, I wrote down several Proverbs here that kind of get to that. I'll just read them to you. We'll put them on the screen. Proverbs 12:15. The way of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. Proverbs 13, verse 20. Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. Proverbs 15, verse 22. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. Proverbs 19, verse 20. One more. Listen to advice and accept discipline, and at the end you will be counted among the wise. Here's what I know, and here's what the Bible teaches. You will never be all that you're capable of being without seeking the input of wise people in your life. You will just never be all that you can be without seeking the wisdom and the advice of wise people in your life. And I stress the wise people part, okay? Like, you know that friend of yours who always tells you it's okay if you just try it once, who's always late and who's always broke, who has like a new job every 2 weeks, who's always complaining on Facebook, and who idolizes Charlie Sheen? Not that friend, okay? Not that friend. That you don't ask that friend for advice. That friend doesn't have any advice or wisdom to give you, okay? I mean, you seek the advice of wise people around you. We all have some of the others, but you seek the wisdom of wise people around you. Now, if you choose not to, let me just say this, you may get by, okay? And you may actually do better than a lot of other people, most other people. But your jar, your life, is still never going to be what it could be if you had sought the wisdom of those on the outside, okay? And this is true professionally, this is true relationally, this is true financially, this is true spiritually. And you know, I say relationally because it can feel so unnatural to seek relational advice, especially at the outset of like new relationships. I mean, when you think about it, we usually trust our own feelings going into relationships, right? Whether it be dating or marriage or a business partner, we tend to just kind of trust our own feelings. And then what happens? We cast our lots with lawyers and counselors to help get us out of those same relationships, right? I mean, that's kind of the way it works. We trust our feelings and then we go get help to get us out of those situations. And I can't help but think, like, imagine how much pain and chaos would be avoided if you sought out wise counsel during the early stages of your relationships instead of putting so much into your own feelings at the onset of those relationships. Man, growing up, my parents would share with me quite often just stories about the complicated situations that people had behaved themselves into, if you know what I mean. And looking back, I realized my dad had, you know, an agenda in telling me those stories. But the moral of nearly every one of my parents' stories was, they should have listened. They should have listened. People fail. People make poor decisions because they didn't listen. They didn't listen to God and His wisdom. They weren't people who asked, is it written? Okay? And they didn't listen to the wise, godly people that were around them. And here's the deal. One of the best things you can do, okay, if you're going to make great decisions, is to surround yourself with wise people. To surround yourself with wise, godly people, and then just ask them regularly. Okay? And here's the second question. What do you think I should do? That's the second question. We ask, is it written? What's God have to say about this? Then we ask, what do you think I should do? We seek the wisdom of others. and you ask it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about when you're standing in line at Starbucks and you can't decide between a grande or a venti. Okay? Yeah, hey, man, hey, what's going on? Hey, yeah, I got a decision I'm facing. What would you do? Now, I'm not talking about that. Don't drive your friends crazy or they won't hang out with you anymore. Okay? But I'm talking about significant, big decisions that you need to make. Okay? You find your friends, and you step back. Okay? You pause. You take a breath, and you seek wise counsel. I mean, when you're in the midst of a big decision, okay, why not pause long enough to listen to the people who have faced what you're facing, who have gone through what you're getting ready to go through, and they're wiser for their experience? Right? Hey, let me tell you something. Experience is a good teacher, especially if it's other people's experience, right? I mean, listen, life is short, all right? There is no point in learning something the hard way if somebody else has already paid the price, all right? And so seek out wise counsel. Here's what I can tell you from my personal experience, okay? I am a better husband because of the wise counsel I received before I ever said I do. Lisa and I are better parents because of the advice that we sought from other parents who are a little bit further down the road than us, and that we're still seeking from parents a little further down the road from us. We're wiser parents because of that. We're not perfect parents, but we're just wiser parents because we're seeking advice. I know I'm a much better leader because of the advice I have received from seasoned leaders around me. Here's the way I feel. I don't want to make big decisions without outside input. Okay? I don't want to find out what I should have done after it's too late to do anything about it. Okay? I can't help but wonder about you. Like, how might your jar look different if in the past when you had decisions to make, significant decisions, you had actually paused long enough to ask wise people around you, what do you think I should do? What do you think I should do? What do you think is the wisest thing for me to do? Now, this seems so simple. Okay? And in some ways, these are such simple questions to ask. Is it written, and what do you think I should do? But let's face it. Sometimes you don't want to ask it, do you? You don't want to ask, what do you think I should do? Right? Maybe because you already know what wise people will say, and you don't want to hear it, right? Maybe for you, it's because you think it's nobody's business. It's my money. It's my marriage. It's my kids. It's my job. Right? It's a private decision. Never mind that your private decision usually has public consequences, right? Or maybe for you, it's just because you struggle with pride. And you say, man, I don't need to be told what to do. Right? Yeah. You know what's interesting to me? Solomon, the guy who wrote the book of Proverbs, the guy Vince talked about last week, the wisest man to ever live, the man who needed the least counsel spoke and wrote about it the most. The man who needed it least actually talked about it more than anybody else. And you know why? Because wise people know what they don't know, and they're not afraid to go to those who do. See, foolish people run from advice. Wise people run to advice. And maybe this morning you kind of came in thinking, you know, asking for help, that's a weakness. That's like, you know, that's like a reflection of my lack of wisdom. It's not true. Seeking advice, seeking wisdom is actually evidence of wisdom in your life. And so let me just give you a few tips on seeking out the advice of others, okay? Just real quick. First of all, make sure it's biblical counsel. Okay, you want to ask for advice and wisdom and input from people who are actually trying to be a student of the Bible. Okay, from people who are regularly asking that first question: is it written? Okay, that's who you want to ask advice from. You want to get biblical counsel. Another thing is you want to make sure it's experienced counsel. Okay, you want to get more than one person to feed into you and to give you wisdom who has experience in the area that you're currently dealing with. Okay? You don't want to ask for help. You don't want to ask somebody who doesn't have a clue about the decision you're making or about the experience you're in the midst of. Okay? You want to get help from two or more people who have experience in that area. And so you want to get biblical counsel. You want to get experienced counsel. But you also want to get honest counsel. Okay? And this is huge. Okay? In other words, don't talk to people who like you so much, they'll just tell you what you want to hear. Okay? We've all got those friends, right? We're that friend for other people, probably. But that's not who you want to hear from. See, here's my deal. I want to find somebody who loves God, who loves me, but who loves God more than me. Okay? That's who I want to seek wisdom from. Okay? Because here's the thing. If they don't love God more than me, they're never going to give me the tough truth. They're never going to give me the wisdom that I actually really need to hear. And so I want to find somebody who loves God and loves me, but they love God more. And they have my best interest in mind. When they're giving me advice, they've got my jar in mind. And I can trust that in my life. Now, let me say one other thing about this whole idea of seeking counsel. God never wastes a hurt. You know, in this room today, we've got a lot of things that are painful in our past. Okay? Some of you are dealing with pain right now, and if you were to put all of our jars together, we'd have a lot of poor decisions, wouldn't we? Okay? And it's hard because we can't pull the cards out and we can't undo them. But here's the cool thing about God is that God never wastes a hurt. God never wastes a poor decision. He has this way of redeeming our poor decisions in the past. And that while there may be consequences and hurt and pain that come from it, he has just this way of using those things in our life to help others. God just never wastes hurt. And some of you here, man, you've dealt with broken relationships, maybe a broken marriage. And you've come through it and like you're stronger today. Some of you, you've got kids who maybe have run away or have dealt with an addiction in their life. And I mean, you've walked through that with them and you've dealt with that and you've learned all kinds of stuff through that experience. You know, some of you have dealt with, maybe for you, you've dealt with just financial pain or vocational difficulty and heartbreak. And the reality is between you and between me and between others in this place, we've got these and we've got other problems that have been solved, or maybe they weren't solved, they've just been healed over time. And here's what I'd like to ask of you. Would you share them with others in this place? Would you share some of the hurt and the heartbreak and pain that you've dealt with in the past and you've come through with others in this place? Would you share the wisdom and the experience you gained through these experiences? Because, see, here's the thing. If you're going to make great decisions, you need to seek out wise counsel. Okay? But the flip side of that is sometimes you're going to be the one who's sought out for wise counsel. Okay? Sometimes there's going to be others who come to you. Okay? You're going to be that wise, godly friend for other people in your life. Okay? And what you need to understand this morning is that God can speak through you into the lives of others. He can. He will. And think about the pain and the hurt and the regret that you can help others avoid by openly sharing your story and your counsel. I mean, what if you just committed to helping everyone in your life, everyone in this church, to fill up their jar with greater decisions? Like what if what if we all just committed together that we're going to help each other fill up our jar with great decisions? Can you imagine what a gift that would be for each of us? If we were there and we were looking after each other's jar. Okay. Now, here's what that doesn't mean. That doesn't mean when we end here today that you decide, oh, I'm going to go share my story with everybody. I'm going to go share my pain. You know, and everybody's like, oh, Ron. All right. No, you wait till you're asked, okay? You wait till you have been given permission, all right? But you're ready. When somebody, when a friend comes to you and says, what do you think I should do? You can go, you know what? I think I know what you should do because of what I didn't do earlier in my life. You know, this is one of the reasons we encourage you to get in a microgroup. Microgroups are just groups of 4 to 6 people here at Verve that meet with each other once a week. They do a little bit of Bible study, and they talk about your life and each other's lives and about decisions that you're facing. And we all need that. We not only need it, but we need you in groups so you can share and be there and be that wise counsel for other people in your group. I think about it, and I think, man, there may not be a single train wreck decision that you would ever make if you would just ask 1 or 2 wise people to speak into your life before you make that decision. Yeah. I mean, how differently would my jar look like if I would make those 2 questions a part of my life? And so here's the question for you this morning. What difficult decisions are you facing right now? What difficult decision are you dealing with that maybe you walked in here with this morning? What significant decisions are you going to have to deal with in the next 6 months? 2 questions that you can ask today that will spare you from asking if only tomorrow. You seek God's wisdom and you ask, is it written? And then you seek the wisdom of others by asking, what do you think I should do? And friends, if you'll do that, if you'll ask those 2 questions, you're going to live a life of making great decisions. And you're going to really like the contents in your jar. Now, I'm going to pray for you, and then we're going to give you some time. We do each week. Just give you some time to think about what you've heard. And think about these questions. Think about what that may look like for you to become a student of the Bible. To actually, maybe today you pick a time and a place that works for you each day or most days that you can be reading a little bit of the Bible. Maybe today now you think about, who are those people in my life that I can lean on? Who are those people that I can seek wise counsel from in my life? And during this time, we're going to make communion available. And communion is a piece of bread and a cup of juice that represents Jesus' body and blood that he shed on the cross for you and for me. And we remember that sacrifice because it's that sacrifice that gives us hope with our jar, even the bad decisions in our jar, that God can somehow bring good from those and can redeem us and forgive us of those past decisions. And we invite you to take communion if you like during this time. The band's going to play a song. Communion is at 3 tables around the room where the candles are, and you can make your way there when you are ready. But man, just take advantage of this time to think about what would it take for you to make some great decisions in your life. Let's pray. God, we have all made poor decisions. God, we all have decisions that we would love to undo in our life. But the reality is we can't. And God, we are so grateful for you and the sacrifice you have made so that our past poor decisions could be redeemed, could be forgiven. But more than that, God, we're so grateful that you've given us your word. Words of life, words that give us light. Give us direction. God, it's so easy for us just kind of, man, be moving through life so fast that we just don't pay attention to your words of wisdom. God, would you help us today to start every day asking, is it written? God, do you have something to say? Do you have something to speak into my life that will help me make great decisions? And God, you've put some great people around us. God, would you help remove the pride or whatever it is that keeps us from seeking wise counsel? God, would you help us when we're faced with a tough decision to stop long enough, to pause, to seek out others, to ask, what do you think I should do? So that we can make great decisions. God, thank you for your love. Thank you for Jesus. God, would you help us to be people who honor you and seek you in the decisions of life? In Jesus' name, amen.